I read a piece that a Wake Forest University philosophy professor wrote. He said, most of us are a mix of vice and virtue. We aren't good enough to be virtuous, but then again, we aren't bad enough to be counted as vicious. The difference between the virtuous person we should be and the sometimes vicious person we actually are, he says, is called the character gap. And we all have one. You've been on London's Underground. The train pulls into the station. A voice comes over the intercom and says, mind the gap between the person we'd like to be and the person we are. The Ephesians passage that you just heard talks about a character gap, and it existed in the early church. The gap between the way we ought to follow Christ and the way we actually do. I like one skeptic said this about Christianity. One skeptic of the faith said, I have met the redeemed, and so I don't care to meet their redeemer. I always thought that was funny. I appreciated that myself. We aren't perfect. We very imperfectly reflect the love and the light and the forgiveness of Christ. But we strive. So often we get lost. There's a SMU professor named Jamie Clark Soles. She teaches New Testament at SMU, and she says this. This text is a warning about anger taking over your life. Anger will agitate you, and if you let it, it will cloud your judgment. And that's how sin gets a foothold. And soon there's deceptive talk, and then tearing other people down with your words. Speech matters, she says. Words can either build up the community or tear down and rip apart community. Truth matters, she says. With truth, authentic community is possible. Mind the gap. Mind the gap between the behaviors and the words that give grace and build up, and those that tear down and destroy. Don't just worship God and sing of God's praise and pray to God and give thanks to God. Let the character of God define your actions and behaviors. Imitate God. I don't think there's a better role model in the world than the role model of God's Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. I believe that the path He puts before us is the highest of callings, difficult to stay on, and often we take other paths. The good news, as we heard at the baptismal font, is with Him there's always an invitation to start over. There's always refreshment and restoration. There's an opportunity to learn from mistakes and more faithfully live out that which we profess. This next story reminds me of a t-shirt I saw. It said, caution, preacher. Anything you do or say could be used in a sermon. I took a picture. I said, I got a picture of the t-shirt and I sent it to our executive presbyter. She said, amen. A young woman was enjoying her first semester of college far more than she was studying. And she had the grades to prove it. She had an A in social life and other letters for other classes. And though there were 300 miles, a safe distance between her campus and her home, her father got word of the situation. This was the days before HIPAA laws, and there was a midterm grades report sent home from the dean. What would you do if you were that parent and got that letter? Would you threaten? Would you cut funds? Would you encourage a tutor? Would you cry and pray or both?
Would you just let her flunk out? Maybe learn a lesson? What would you do?
What he did is he cleared his calendar for the next workday. And he went through his file cabinet and found a manila folder with his daughter's name on it, took the file, the next morning rose early and drove 300 miles. Found the dorm, knock, knock, knock. Dad, what are you doing here? I want to show you something, he said. They sat down awkwardly in her residence hall room. He pulled out the folder. And in it, there were baby pictures and there were old birthday cards, a few clippings of when she was a Girl Scout. In it were letters written to Santa, old photos. Finally, he found what he was looking for. Here it is, he said. This is what I want to show you. It's your IQ test from middle school. She took the piece of paper in her hand. Why is he here? What is this about? He said, according to that test, your IQ is above average. According to that piece of paper, you are capable of being very successful in your classes. That just proves what we already know. You are a smart, smart girl. And with that, the trip ended, $20 for a trip to the mall or a study break, and he was 300 miles on his way home. Fast forward 3 years and three-fourths of a year later, she was on the stage with a cap and gown on, and he was, thank God, in the audience, as proud as anybody there. The difference between where you are and where you should be or could be, that's the gap that the apostle is writing the church about. It's a character gap. Their words and their actions just aren't reflecting the new life they're called to have in Christ. Yes, they were baptized, and yes, they joined the church, but they were still acting as if none of that mattered, as if they were still the people they always were, living as Roman citizens in a pagan world. Jesus said to them, "Follow me." But they weren't. The Ephesians were tearing each other's down. That's what you do when you want to make yourself feel better. You put others down. The Ephesians were using their words to destroy or deceive, control. There was a lot of anger, a lot of aggression. Paul said, that's not how citizens of heaven behave. That might be the way the world uses words. That might be the way the world acts. But you and Christ are called to a new life together. This is to be a witness, a demonstration to the world of kindness and love and forgiveness and truth. You're here, but this is where you need to be. And he points up and says, Christ is the example. Imitate God. You're children of God. Imitate God. Look to Jesus Christ, whose great love has saved you, and treat others with that love. A simple message. I'm going to go back to that Wake Forest professor for a minute. Name is Christian Miller, and this is what he writes in his new book. Role models help us see the world in a new way. Role models, whether they're parents or friends or famous people in history or characters in literature, like the character of the Good Samaritan in the parable, role models can reshape your imagination and be a source of wisdom and advice. Most importantly, role models can inspire you to change your life and become a better person. In the church, we'd say a more spiritually mature person, a more faithful disciple. I know this, that there is no download, at least not yet, where you can just download good grades or physical fitness or musical ability. It takes effort. Anything that's worthwhile does. It takes focus and discipline, having a goal and working hard at it, sacrifice. Keep your hand on the plow, one of the spirituals said. Hold on. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come on to me, I am the way. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. I know the Lord will be my light when the way gets dark as the night. Keep your hand on the plow. Hold on. In August, I still have bad memories of football practice. Hot August heat, push-ups and wind sprints and bruises and injuries, and just hard work. And I hear those coaches still in my head say, practice, discipline, effort, focus. Ah. Do you know what football teams strive for? The goal line. Same in soccer. What is it called where you kick that ball? Hockey? Lacrosse? It's a goal. Basketball's called a rim, but it's still a goal. You know, it's the thing the net hangs from. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but in golf, it's called a tin cup. Anyway, go with me here. There's a goal in mind. Imitate God, beloved children. Imitate God and love as Christ loved you. That's your goal. Love and kindness and forgiveness and generosity and honesty, those are the callings from Paul to the church. Words that not only speak truth, but are gracious. Words that give blessing. And when you act like that and think like that, and you try to put some of those behaviors into practice, I can't help but think that God must look on like a parent at graduation and say, I knew you could do it. I am so glad and proud to have you as a member of the family. Kickoff Sunday. Lots of invitations out there, lots of opportunities to connect or grow or stretch or befriend or help out or give. Lots of ways to reclaim our baptismal identity and grow spiritually and move along that path of discipleship as followers of Jesus. It's a good time of year to say, keep your hand on the plow. Hold on. When I get to heaven, I'm going to sing and shout. Ain't going to be nobody there to put me out. Keep your hand on the plow. And hold on. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.